For some people, they take Pariyatti just for reading only, nothing to do with seeing and hearing or thinking right now at all. So they don't understand that these are Dhamma. They cannot find Dhamma in daily life because they don't know that what is in the book about seeing is seeing right now, hearing right now, and thinking right now.
So that's why, as we were saying yesterday, the satchanjana has to be so firm about the realities right now. Otherwise, what we think of as pariyatti is just book study or knowledge.
And when it's panya, it's so relaxing. When it's so very heavy, it's the idea of self, wanting to get or to think about oneself so much. When there is no self at all. For example, it's not easy at all to experience the true nature of seeing, right? But by hearing and considering, and when one is so truthful, one knows by oneself whether there is a just a little bit of beginning just to understand the nature or the reality of visible object. That how can there be any one invisible object which can be seen? Only when seeing arises and then falls away. So it, what is left is only the idea and thinking about seeing. See, by understanding reality as much, there can be less and less attached to reality itself. Even right now, if there is no beginning to understand just a little bit that it's a reality which is seen, just this and it keeps going on. Then one day one can see that how little panya can grow. And that moment there must be direct awareness, but we don't have to name or call it at all. For example, hardness appears, and it cannot appear if there is no the body consciousness which experiences it. Do we have to think like this? But the characteristic of hardness is different from that which experiences it. Even we don't call it anything at all. But by saying or repeating that that which cannot experience anything is nama, it's not the moment of experiencing the rupa, that which cannot experience anything. So the words come later, but the experiencing is there. That's why the people in the old days study the teachings by experiencing.
I was just thinking that the only way you get to seeing is by saying it's that which experiences a physical object, and you start with physical object, and then, okay, the experience of that is, that's all thinking in the realm of thinking.
But so, actually it's not thinking, because seeing sees.
Actually seeing is seeing, yeah. But I'm talking about...
In order to have the right understanding or right thinking,
yes.
We need a lot to develop understanding. Even just a little bit that it cannot be anything else. Is seeing, that's all. And there is thinking about many things taken out of visible object as something so permanent, like the name Kunjarupan, to me, no more Jarupan. That's enough. Instead of thinking about her life, no more Jarupan.
I liked your comment when I asked about, well, at the funeral, any special thoughts or reflections, and you just said, well, just like now, because there are just dhammas arising and falling away just like now. And if there is thinking about different concepts, it's just thinking about different concepts.
John, you said something about in the time of the Buddha, people didn't study, from book. Well, what did they do?
After hearing about seeing yeah. is there, then ready to be understood as a reality, like now. It's real, it's a reality. It can appear only to seeing.
So did you mean they didn't study books because they weren't available, or that they learned in a different way, or what?
In the Buddha's times, nobody had books to study, I think. But I think that there are realities no matter then or now.
Right.
And it's not like if we didn't have books, we'd do the same.
Burn all the books.
It's just that we've not developed the panya to have the...
Right. Not enough detachment from the realities that are appearing. Of course, I mean, there are some in the Buddha's time who also didn't understand, so not everyone became enlightened, but she's referring to those who had the accumulations to understand and be aware immediately, I think.
Well, the stories that we make up as a result of visible object appearing and sounds appearing, that we put a story, I mean, the stories, I understand, will go on until we end, but we don't take them for what they're not anymore. But we will still,
no one can stop conditions.
It comes up automatically, even for our
story. So if one does like to have story, if one tries so hard to have no story, it's wrong.
Yeah,
the understanding of the nature of realities.
There's a recognition that the story is real.
So one can see the difference between the absolute reality and the thinking about story. Otherwise, there's no way while one is trying to stop thinking. And it's impossible. So the right path is also very, very subtle too.
Because if there was any idea of stopping thinking, that would not be sati developing naturally. It would not be daily life at all.
So we can say that the path has to go along with detachment from the very beginning, from wrong understanding of the path. This is very difficult too, because it's so easy to follow the wrong path.
But I think you would say not only should we not try to stop the thinking, but we should not try to change the thinking either, for that matter, channel it.
There is no self who can do anything because there's no self.
But on the other hand, since everything is anatta like this, right, then one could say that one study Dhamma and understand Dhamma and all that, then whatever any akusala citta happen, one could always take that for granted and say that it's a condition, it's a
ending.
I'll tell a little story going on about my brother. My brother just keep doing this akusala karma to my mother. And I emailed my sister and then I told her about the story and said, can you do something about it? And she said, well, that is his karma. He's doing akusala karma and we can't do anything about talking him not to do this, not to do that, because that is accumulation. So one can't do anything about it. So just have to accept the way he is. So I'm... Okay, look at the Dharma sense. What should I say? Yeah.
What about there's no brother? So what about just developing metta and karuna and upekkha? And that may just be accepting that this is how it is. And then when one helps, more kusala involved.
My sister keep sending money to my auntie to look after my mother. And he's keep taking it, you know.
And so he's thinking about...
What's the reality at this moment? What kind of cheaters think this way about, oh, he just takes money and it comes back to the akusala at this moment?
The Buddha did say something about life being dukkha. It's not like you can escape it. It props up all the time.
What is the life that is dukkha?
I think that it's the dosa, it's the lobha, it's the lack of control over the situation.
Or just what is life?
What is life? Okay, that's what I'm asking. What is life in the context life of dukkha?
We say that the truth of dukkha refers to any nama or rupa which arises and falls away, and but the noble truth of dukkha refers to those dhammas which are experienced and known as the object of clinging. Would you say a little more about dukkha and the noble truth of dukkha?
Is this moment not dukkha?
This moment is dukkha. Seeing is dukkha, hearing is dukkha.
Everything is dukkha.
Everything is dukkha. Yeah. But the noble truth of dukkha refers just to the same ones that are clung to at this moment.
Whatever is said must be known directly.
Yes.
Otherwise it's just following the words.
Yes.
Like each moment, each reality is dukkha.
Yeah.
It includes now, each moment, each split seconds.
Because actually when we talk about the truth of dukkha, it's not just referring to those dharmas experienced, but even those that are not experienced
are
dukkha.
It's easy to say that life is dukkha, but what is life?
In the end it comes down to this seeing or this hearing and this like and dislike, not just to the distress or the problems.
And further than that, what is the reality of life? The reality of life. Chivitindriya nama and chivitindriya rupa. Deeper than that. Yeah. Jetasik. And rupa, conditioned by karma only, see?
But when do we really refer to that when we say life? Nobody refers to that.
Because they don't know. Like seeing, they don't know at all what is the true nature of seeing, whether it's an element or self or what. But actually, it's a component of citta and cetasika, and citta is that which sees. Without cetasika, citta cannot arise, see? The person who knows about it knows that it's conditioned.
So why don't we just say the citta of this moment is life?
Citta is citta, and cetasikas are cetasikas.
There are rupas too.
Yeah.
Five khandhas.
Yeah, five khandhas.
Could you say a little more about why, when we appreciate that there is no person, no brother, or no one who behaves badly, it's a condition for the development of more rather than less Brahma Viharas?
Because the appreciation of no self is there. When there's no self, yes. Who belong to us as father and mother or friends or brother?
My sister seems to understand this very well about no self.
Can you forget her?
No, sister.
Sorry. She says, do kusala.
Because mother is thinking. See? You are thinking of someone permanent.
No. It's just the way she makes the comment about
someone. Someone permanent is your sister.
My sister, my brother, my brother.
It doesn't matter if we talk about lopa mula citta, it doesn't belong to anyone at all. Anyone, anytime it arises. No matter we call it sister or brother or what. Just lopa mula citta.
Why did you particularly say lopa?
Those are moha and kusala and akusala or dhammas. Yeah.
Just an example.
My mother with her Alzheimer's, just watching the Alzheimer's creeping up where conceptual thought dropped away without any Dharma study. It's quite interesting to see how they forget who anybody is, daughter, mother, brother.
We can talk about them while it's not about Dhammas. Now we're talking about Jitta, Jitasika and Rupas.
So back to the discussion about appreciating more, no people, no sister, no mother, by understanding more about anatta, it's a condition for there to be more metta, more compassion to different people.
Are you concerned for metta and karuna and so forth, kusala as yours or what? Anything can be conditions.
Just any dhamma.
Yeah.
I'm just interested in why it is that with more understanding
when
anatta,
there's less attachment to the self, then you can do
something. With less conditions for the akusala to arise. So when thinking in terms of people, maybe more chance for the kusala to arise in the form of Brahma Viharas.
Well, there is, but of course when we're referring to Brahma Viharas, people are still the object. So for example, when there's metta for the sister is still the object.
And
so
if we can understand Brahma Vihara as Dhamma, that's,
yes, that's it.
Not just hold it as someone or some people, but just a reality.
So actually, even though when there is metta or karuna, there have to be people or concepts as the object, but actually the quality just develops of its own accord more when there is more understanding than that.
Can one be proud of one's own metta?
Of course, there can be pride of anything.
Yeah, when there's no understanding, it's just Dhamma.
So more understanding, more satcha parami, more truthfulness.
And besides, I think when there's understanding of the Brahma Viharas as just Dhammas, it's a condition for them to arise more, doesn't it?
We're all less clinging to them.
And so expectation, no clinging, whatever arises.
In fact, if you don't see it as a Dhamma, then there's quite likely mistaking a kusala for kusala. What you take for Brahma Viharas may be a form of cheating Dhammas.
When it's all still my metta or my karuna, and so it's actually a clinging to me being this person with metta.
No attention to realities like softness and hardness, whisper object and sound.
That's why I say there's so much ignorance. It's just ignorance. Open your eyes, ignorance. Sound hit ignorance.
the rolling dhammas all the time, and especially the impermanent dhamma. So whenever awareness arises, it's just like a touch, just very soft touch, right? Before there can be the very keen understanding about the characteristic of reality as not self. This is life, right now. The rolling dhammas, the impermanent dhamma too, just there and gone all the time.
So you don't want ignorance?
No, I'm just saying there is so much. And I sometimes wonder, with so much of ignorance being accumulated, how does Panya overcome all that?
But you know it so much.
Function.
Luckily.
Better to know. Better to know.
If you didn't know.
Yeah. You have much more.
I come back to the point we discussed yesterday about which one is worse, ignorance or wrong view.
Do
you
have to think about this?
Are you going to decide which one to have?
No, I'm just reasoning in my mind.
Just understand each one as it is.
No, I'm reasoning in my mind how wrong view is worse.
We know that wrong view has to be eradicated first.
With wrong view, there is going to be wrong practice.
Wrong speech.
Wrong speech.
Wrong thinking. All wrong.
So there's no chance with wrong view. With ignorance, you still have a chance. I mean, that's what I'm saying, that there's so much ignorance and yet, yeah, there can be understanding.
There's ignorance with all kalesa, including with wrong view.
But the ignorance without wrong view is not as bad as ignorance with wrong view.
Even it arises with dosa, it's not as bad.
It's not as bad.
Yeah.
That's why wrong view has to be eradicated first.
So getting back to how we started the discussion today about seeing and visible objects, it seems to me that it's thinking about the situation that makes it more difficult for there to be awareness of seeing and visible objects, because the stories that are there are so all-encompassing and so prominent in our thinking.